Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are tuned in to the Thornton. Let's go!
Drives it left field. Absolutely crushed. You don't see that every night.
Welcome to the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by The Weekly Streamer, with hosts Ryan and Koviak and Hunter, the Country Biscuit, Ricks.
I hate all Dodgers. Super Biscuit. Big old biscuit. Slathered, covered, smothered biscuit.
What's going on? This is Ryan and Koviak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. The Country Biscuit, Hunter Rakes, and I have a great show lined up for you this week. We are going to do our third rendition of Biscuit or Bust. We're going to review the waiver wire report, get some deep thoughts with your boy. We'll make some predictions on swing and mistakes, and we will end with a name that player. But before we get into any of that, though, Bisky, we missed you last show. Any takeaways from the trade deadline you'd like to share? I'm sure you must be very happy with the cumulative haul that your Cincinnati Reds got. What are your thoughts on the deadline, guy?
Well, you know, it wasn't released, but I was on a 5-day bender after my Reds actually had a good trade deadline. I just couldn't stand it. That I just was just drink after drink, because usually as a Reds fan, we trade away our stars for nothing and then rinse repeat. So the fact that we got a great haul for Luis Castillo and even Tyler Mahle. I love Spencer Steer. I think CES, for me, from a fantasy setting, the biggest standpoint there is that man is going to get to play every day in Great America. I go get you some CES now. That power is going to play in that ballpark. Could be a stud potential. That one was big for me. I think the one thing else that I really saw from the trade deadline was the lack. I'll tell you what, I love it because they're in my division, but the Cardinals really not doing anything was a shocker to me.
Yep.
Although that was a shocker.
I did like the Montgomery move from their lens. I thought getting another.
Yeah, card, but that was the one move I liked.
Pretty small.
At what point you make all these massive free agent signings? At what point do you just throw caution to the wind and make a move? It's not like you're a small market team; you're a decent sized franchise. Make the daggum move. I will say also that I really enjoy. Well, they probably should have moved him from a fan perspective, and maybe even saving the fan base. The Cubs not moving Wilson Contreras from a purely fan perspective was nice. I don't know if you would have got anything for him at that point, because I don't think the market ever heated up like y'all were hoping. So better just to hold him and keep the fans happy. Let them keep Wilson, and maybe you get a better pick for him. That's the gamble there, but at least you get to keep your star.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I just hope they re-sign him. I ranted for a bit on our last show. I'm not going to get into that again. But anyway, it's good to have you back. Any takeaways that were not NL Central?
Well, that's all I care about. I will say, when you mentioned the Montgomery move, I thought that was really head-scratching from the Yankees. I didn't like that move at all. I like Bader, but I feel like they need pitching.
Correct.
So that one was a head shot from that perspective. I thought the Yankees had a great trade deadline. The Red Sox had a very confusing trade deadline. The Twins, I feel like, are pushing to be arguably the favorites in that division now, if they weren't already. Yep. Just fantastic moves. And, you know, good moves by the Orioles, but really hard to sell your fan base on Mancini and Lopez, even though I think they got plenty in return.
Yep. I agree. It was a really fun couple of days. I was kind of left with a sour taste in my mouth being a Cubs fan and not moving Hap, not moving Contreras. But all in all.
Well, you got Hap for another year. Right. Hap was always a hard sell because you were moving him from a perspective of control. Yeah. So how do you move that? Like, you know, I will say this is the most fun trade deadline I've ever had at all. By far the most exciting. Twitter was going crazy. I remember once I was in a group chat and it was literally just seven straight messages of Twitter updates, like just the copy paste. It was just Twitter to Twitter. Like that's how fast it went. I had to take a poop break at work and sit down and just watch all the tweets come in. Just send
some messages.
I had to send some tweets.
The tweets.
Right. Yeah, the tweets. The PETA. Poop tweets.
Okay. All right, man. Well, let's get some housekeeping out of the way before we get to the show.
Housekeeping?
No, thank you. Leave it.
Housekeeping?
Come back in an hour.
Housekeeping, you want towels?
I want towels. Need sleepy.
Housekeeping, you want me for pillow?
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God.
Please subscribe to the Weekly Streamer Podcast Network wherever you get your podcast. If you haven't already, if you do, we greatly appreciate it. But again, subscribe, rate, review, share. Every little bit helps. And if you're not already, please follow our work at Weekly Streamer Network on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also support our work by becoming a subscriber to our Weekly Streamer Patreon page. Patreon is a platform that allows artists and content creators to share their work. And for a monthly fee, just $5, you can get access to our full minor league system breakdowns, write-ups on minor league players, major league players. We've got top 650 prospect rankings, top 500 dynasty rankings, the draft rankings, and a whole host of articles with content being added almost every day. So lots to get into there. Great community we've built up there as well. So check us out, $5 a month on Patreon. Basically, my guy, you want to do the news and notes before we get to some of our segments?
News and notes.
I got you, brother. All right, so first, George Springer was put on the IL. Clayton Kershaw is going on the IL as well, but their injury doesn't seem to be as serious as first thought. He should be back at the minimum. Hunter Green hurts my heart. Could have saw this coming on the IL with a shoulder. Tyler Stevenson is on the 60-day IL. Let's see, we got Max Kepler, Chris Taylor, Elisa Hernandez, and Brad Miller all coming back from the IL. Anthony Rizzo, Chris Morel, Austin Hayes, Bobby Witt are all day-to-day. Fernando Tatis will be starting a rehab assignment this week. Huge for the Padres as they make that super team come to life. Jack Flaherty and Art Warren were on rehab assignments as well. Abraham Toro was sitting down to AAA to make room for Mitch Haniger. The Guardians have DFA'd Framil Reyes. The Franimal is no more. The Cubs have DFA'd Anderson Simmons. Man, was he good back in his heyday. Dennis Lamet was recently DFA'd and picked up by the Rockies. I'm not sure if I wouldn't have just stayed designated and go pitch in Colorado. Just stay designated. Go play for the Bananas. Go play for the Savannah. Like, go do that instead of pitching in Colorado.
Well, I'm sure he's hanging out for dear life at this point. That's his 13 in a week. But, man, it's gotten bad when you're going to pitch in Colorado, so.
I mean, I guess he makes like $4 million an arb. He's like, I gotta get that money. I got babies to feed, I guess.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but yeah, that's right. You know, I was really shocked that the Guardians DFA'd Framil Reyes. I know he's not having a great year, but man, that's a hell of a bat to hit, to be DFA'd. I'm curious to see who's gonna snatch him up. I can't imagine he's gonna make it through to the market.
Well, I think they just have so many of that guy, right? Like, they have Oscar Gonzalez, Will Benson got the call. They have a couple of really athletic outfielders that I think the Framil was just expendable.
Yeah, that's wild. Somebody will get him. He'll land somewhere. I'm not too worried about that.
Cubbies, baby, Cubbies. They're going to go be a Cub. I love him in Great American. Yeah. Could you imagine him with that power?
Yeah. Whew. I love him in Chicago. I'm with you.
Right.
All right, man. Well, thanks for the news and notes. You know, I think this is the point in the season where you'll really see which the teams that can stay healthier tend to do better this time of year, because you don't have as much time to make up for it.
Right.
The Springer injury kind of caught me by surprise. I didn't really know that was nagging him, and it must have been if they put him on the IL today. And, you know, I've heard rumors that Tatis is going to be an outfielder now, potentially a center fielder instead of a shortstop. So that'll be kind of exciting to see so much talent in that lineup. So
I wonder if that hurts. I wonder if that helps or hurts him injury wise. I feel like him playing center field almost makes me worried he's going to get hurt. But I guess he could get hurt at shortstop too. But keep that man healthy.
Well, I was thinking about that too. I mean, I think as a shoulder injury, my guess is they're just thinking as a center fielder, you're going to throw the ball a lot less than you would as a shortstop. But
wouldn't you want to – I feel like you just – I know he's athletic, but wouldn't you just better stick him in a corner?
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to, like, make – I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. Like, he's too athletic to – and he's too young. But and I will say this. I got hurt the other day because I was discussing Jazz Chisholm in a trade. And people get brought up. He's always hurt. I'm like, here's the thing, man. They're 24. They're always hurt until they're not, right? And I hate people who bring that up. Like, at some point, like, yes, they may have had some injuries. But at 22, 23, 24, it's hard to really – to just at that point say, hey, they're always hurt. Trey Turner was always hurt. He's currently top five in most active games consistently played.
Yep.
He's had 140 consecutive game played, and he had injury issues 2 years ago. So when you're that young, it's so hard to say that they're injury prone. So
I agree.
But he has had some freak stuff.
The always hurt tag, I think, starts to make more sense when you're, you know, you've gotten to your prime, so to speak, 27, 28, and
right.
You just keep hitting the IL. But I'm kind of with you, 23, 24. I mean, yeah, they've always been hurt while they've been up, but they haven't been up that long, so that's not really a fair.
Right. You know, anyway. Is it just coincidence? You know, it just happens. Everybody goes through a stretch. Maybe that's just their stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. So it's been about 6 weeks since we did our last edition of Biscuit or Bust. The first time we did Biscuit or Bust, frankly, we waited too long, and it was a really, really long list. The second time we did Biscuit or Bust, we didn't allow it to go that long, so the list was a lot shorter. This list is going to be a little bit in between. If this is your first time hearing this, you are about to experience something so cold, man. And the Country Biscuit will tell you whether or not the prospect to be named later will be a biscuit, a.k.a. a stud, or someone you absolutely want on your squad, or if this prospect's going to be a bust. All right, so let me rattle off the prospects, and you let us know if they're a biscuit or a bust. I'm going to ask you just to respond with biscuit or bust, and then we can break them down afterwards if there's a guy or two you want to highlight. So you ready to go?
Biscuit or bust.
Biscuit or bust.
Risk it for the biscuit. No risk it, no biscuit.
Biscuit or bust.
Let's go, brother. Damn.
All right. Philadelphia Philly, Derek Hall.
Bust.
Mark Appel.
He shouldn't even count. Bust.
Well, he's 30, but that's kind of a cool story.
It's a cool story. I mean, it's cool, but it bust.
Brian Bellow.
I still really like him. I think he figures it out. I'm going to go biscuit, even though he struggled.
How about Nolan Jones?
Nicest human I've ever met. My son loved him, so he will forever be a biscuit in my heart.
Esturi Ruiz.
Big old biscuit.
A lot of hesitation for a big old biscuit.
Well,
how about Nick Prado?
Yeah. Biscuit.
Michael Massey.
Biscuit.
Max Meyer.
Bust.
JJ Blade.
Bust.
James Outman.
Give me a biscuit on James Outman. Just feels like one of those guys.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to elaborate that in just a minute. How about Michael Vargas?
Well, I don't know about Michael Vargas, but Miguel Vargas.
Sorry. I translated.
Michael Vargas is a bust. I think he has the potential to be a biscuit. I worry about the playing time. I'm going to go biscuit, but I don't feel great about it.
Okay. highly touted for it to not to be a biscuit.
Highly touted biscuit, and I think he's got the potential. I would have loved to, as much as I hate Soto to go to the mothership, I would have loved him to have gone there because I feel like Vargas would have gone to the Nationals and would have been amazing.
Yeah, he just needs the leash. How about Tyler Freeman?
Bust. Too many guys like that, I just don't see him. I don't see the major league of appeal in fantasy.
Okay. Cole Ragans. Oh.
Give me neither. You know, give me a bust. I got to think long about it. Give me a bust.
Serviceable? Yeah.
Yeah, serviceable.
Bubba Thompson?
Bust.
And Hunter Gaddis.
Biggest of bust. Bust, bust, bust. There's only one Hunter in this mug. And it ain't you.
Okay. So we rattle off, what was that, 10, 12 guys? Anybody that you want to draw more attention to, either because you really like them or you think they're overhyped?
So I really like James Outman, man. Like, he's going – I'll tell you what. Do not be shocked if Cody Bellinger gets non-tendered.
Whoa. Because of him?
Do not be shocked if Cody Bellinger gets non-tendered this offseason. He has been absolutely horrendous. And he will get he's already at 17. He's going to get 18, 19, 20-plus mil in ARB3. Do not be shocked if they do not DFA this man or non-tender him in free agency. James Outman is just one of those guys that I feel like the Dodgers develop. They bring in, look at the guys like Max Muncy, and they just figure it out and play really well. The Justin Turners of the world. I think he's going to be really good. He's hitting the ball incredibly well. He's getting a little more playing time.
I think I like they James just Outman. Sent him back down, but he was productive while he was up. That's interesting. I was not expecting him to be a name, someone that you really liked. Who else? Anybody else?
Oh, I mean, I think he's, yeah, I think he gets enough leash, hopefully, September call-ups. I like James Outman a lot. I also like Michael Massey.
Yeah.
That's an Ed Fingerhut guy. I like him as well. I think he's going to slowly start getting some run. And Esteban Ruiz, the reason why I hesitated, because it's been a long week of work. He was in that Soto deal, correct?
No. He was in the Hader deal. So he came to the Brewers.
Oh, he went to the Brewers. Right. Okay, yeah. Then, yeah, Biscuit. I think he's going to be really good with the Brewers. Great place for him to land. Great hitter's ballpark. He can play everywhere. I like that. I like that for them.
Yep. Anybody on there that you feel like, I guess I was a little surprised that you said bust on Max Meyer. A lot of analysts, et cetera, experts really like him. Obviously, he got injured after his first, maybe it was during his second start. And
Well, let me clarify. When I mean bust, when are we going to see him again?
Yeah.
2 years?
Yeah.
It's so hard to call somebody a biscuit when you could have a whole baby by then. Right, like you go knock somebody up and have their first birthday before they ever see Max Meyer pitch again. So, like, we may have a new president in 2 years. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard for me to call somebody a biscuit when I know we're not going to see them pitch every day, like pitch at a high level probably with zero leash for 2+ years.
Yeah,
he'll be an arb before we really see him. So that's why I call it a bust. I hate when guys get Tommy John this early, or this late in the prospect spectrum. It sucks because now he's like, it just sucks.
Yeah. So, well, and you know,
I would rather him get it as he got called up. I would rather him got it the minute he got out of college, get it then and then go. But now he's already, you know, at the big. So now he's out at least a year and a half, right. Maybe two.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think we could be sitting here a year from now saying he's a good buy low candidate because he's.
Yeah. Oh yeah, oh for sure.
You know,
and he could be a biscuit in 2+ years, but at this point, I mean, it's hard to call somebody a biscuit we're not going to see for a while.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Biscuit or bust.
Risk it for the biscuit. No risk it. No biscuit.
All right, man. Good stuff there on biscuit or bust. Let's go to deep thoughts. So I know you, much like me, have a real knack for getting a little bit too attached to your phone. It's not a great habit, I admit that. I just always need to know what's happening. I think you're the same way. Call it FOMO, I guess. So today's question is pretty simple. What is your favorite social media platform and why? And then which popular platform do you not like? And then third question, sorry, I'm hitting you with so many here. Is there a platform that might surprise some people that you happen to like and use?
I'm a huge TikTok person. I love me some TikTok. It's like Vine with swag. Like, I love me some TikTok. And I was a Vine baby. So, like, it's basically just Vine with more dance moves. So
that's your favorite one, TikTok?
Oh, I love TikTok, man. I'm TikTok for TikTok. Like, you know, like every time I open it up, you know, the old cheerleading show, the tick, boom, down. I say it every time I open it up. Love TikTok. The most overrated one, Instagram. Instagram is for pretty people and people with fake body parts. Like, I ain't got either one of those things. I'm not pretty. I am not paid for by a surgeon. Like, ain't nothing about me Instagram material. I don't like taking pictures. I don't like posting on there. I'm not an Instagram person. Piss on that. But TikTok and then Facebook so I can know, you know, who's getting married and who's pregnant. But that's about it. Here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you're under the age of 30, you have no idea what I'm talking about with Facebook. If you're 30 and up, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The only reason 30 years old and up have Facebook is like, see who's getting pregnant, who's getting married, and or divorced. That's about it. I mean, it's pretty true.
Yeah, and there, you might learn a thing or two about people's political views too.
No, I don't need all that. No. Right. Well, supposedly they all left and went to Parler, so I had to hear about that for about 6 weeks.
Okay. How about a surprise app? Is there one out there that you use that maybe isn't so widely known?
I mean, I'm not a crazy app person. Like, no. I use a lot of Class Dojo because I got babies, but. That's really a social media app. No, probably not. Really just TikTok. A lot of TikTok. I never really got into Discord. It kind of feels like they have the Discord with a weekly streamer and it still feels weird. I think it's because of the icon. You ever pulled the Discord icon, it just feels like you're looking at something naughty. Like I just see that and I'm just like, that just looks wrong. Like I'm pulling up some porn or something and I don't need all that. Like, what if my wife sees that icon? And she's like, Hunter, what are you looking at? That looks evil. Like, I mean, yeah, I hate it. I gotta look at it. I'm like, that just looks wrong. Like, you gotta switch it up, man. Maybe it's the purple. I don't know. Maybe a little more friendly color. But no.
Okay.
Yeah, not a Discord fan either.
All right. I have a tendency to use a fair amount of Pinterest.
What are you, a 40-year-old mom?
Well, I am 40, but no, so here's why. My wife keeps like all of our recipes and stuff like that on Pinterest. So if I ever need to cook or if I ever need to go to the store, I pull Pinterest, I'll see exactly what we're eating that week so then I can shop or just grab whatever we need. So it's very useful. It's like, it's basically like a recipe book for our family, which is kind of nice.
Okay.
So I do use that one. I don't actually use it myself. I just essentially follow what my wife does, but it's very convenient. So anyway. All right. I thought maybe you were going to have like some obscure one. The other one I use a lot is Shazam.
What is Shazam?
So it's a cool little app. So like when you hear a song, any song, you pull out your Shazam app, you hit this button and it listens to the song and then it tells you who the artist in the song is.
Oh, I know. I'm my own personal Shazam.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, I'll be at work and a song will play and I'll just start going, just start singing. All genres. I'm Shazam Biscuit. I got a new nickname. Hunter, the country biscuit Shazam. Isn't Shazam, isn't that Shaq?
There was a Shaq movie called Shazam.
Yeah, isn't that copyrighted? I feel like that should be copyrighted. Like that's a 7-foot black genie. Like that's who Shazam is.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he owns Shazam. I don't know.
Oh, I'll be pretty epic.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, good. So you're a TikTok guy. I knew you liked it. I was kind of shocked to hear that was your favorite one. Oh, but okay.
I'm on TikTok all the time. I'll have to send you this hilarious video I sent to my wife earlier. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. It's this lady who was in a laundry basket, and she was getting on a treadmill and doing all the first 10 settings, and she would get on it in a laundry basket and go into the pool. And you see her go from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and at 8, I'm talking, dude, it takes her in his laundry basket and just flips her upside down. Her head bangs the treadmill, and she goes flying to the water. Like, just got straight yeeted. Just that'll probably get cut out of the podcast, but pretty funny.
Nice. All right, man. All right, let's just off there. Let's go to the Waiver Wire report. If anybody's listened to us, they know that this is a recurring segment for us. Every single week, we at the Weekly Streamer will pull together a list of players that you should be considering to add to your waiver wires. For the most part, these players are pretty readily available in most leagues. Clearly, the deeper the league, the less likely they will be available. The more shallow the league, the more likely they will be available. Releasing it here. Actually, I haven't released it yet as of when we're recording, but it should be out tomorrow or the day after. But Biscuit, you've seen the list. There's about, I don't know, 8-12 names on there. Anybody on there you want to highlight as a good waiver wire ad for the upcoming week here?
There's one name to me. We already talked about Michael Massey. I like him a lot. There's one name, and that man's name is Felix Bautista. If you were savvy, you have already owned Felix Bautista. But Felix Bautista is now the closer in Baltimore on a team that, even without Mancini, is still a borderline 500 team. So they're going to have a lot of close games. It would not shock me if Felix Bautista ends the year top 10 in saves in the second half.
Unlimited biscuits, but you got to pay me for the gravy.
Because I think he's going to get a lot of chances.
Yeah.
I don't think the makeup of the team changes that much with Mancini and Lopez gone. So if Bautista goes to the ninth inning, he'll get the same amount of chances. So it would not shock me if he has it. If he is top 10 in saves in the second half and wins you a title. Would not. He is a category winner type pickup in the second half.
Yeah, and I mean, don't dismiss his first half. He didn't have save opportunities, but he pitched very, very well.
Yeah, he was just fantastic. Didn't make it all back.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was talking to a buddy who picked him up before I could. Like, he's a very savvy owner, and I go, man, you already got on him. He goes, yeah, dude, because the way I looked at it was the reason – he goes, I thought they'd move Lopez because I think they like Bautista better. He goes, and that may be what happened. People were really shocked, but they may have liked Bautista better. So, you know, move what you can when you've got a guy behind him that's just as good.
Yeah, that's a good call. I'm actually going to highlight a reliever as well. This person is not the closer, but has really carved out a high leverage role in the Los Angeles Dodgers bullpen. And that this is probably a deeper league target, I would say. If you're in a shallow league, I doubt this guy's on your radar. But if you're in a 30-man like we are, or even a 15-teamer, and you host a bunch of relief pitchers, get holds, whatnot. This dude's name is Evan Phillips. If you're a Dodger fan, you know who Evan Phillips is. But I've been watching the Dodgers a bit this week, and just a team I follow because they have so many stars on there. But Evan Phillips, I would not say is a star, but he's maybe becoming one. Within the last couple outings, he's pitched tremendously. He relieved Julio Urias earlier this week, just a few days ago, actually. Urias left in a no-out, bases-loaded jam, and not only did Phillips get him out unscathed, it led to a win for Urias, and his ERA up until this point is a sparkling 1.5, a whip under 1. He's got more Ks than he does any pitch. And again, he's in tends to be in a high leverage spot for the Dodgers, so they've got a lot of confidence there. I don't know if he's a future closer necessarily, but, man, he comes in and he works and just gets the job done. So if you need a relief pitcher with, you know, hold potential, go get yourself Evan Phillips.
What's going on? This is Ryan Antkowiak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Do me a favor, pull out your wallet or money clip or phone case. Give it a good inspection. If it's anything like mine, it's pretty meh. I mean, let's be honest, it's a wallet. Well, what if there was a product that blended something you love with something you need? Turns out there is. LineDriveOutfitters.com takes real baseball mitts and turns them into wallets, billfolds, money clips, clutches, and other accessories. And get this, you can get your favorite team's logo engraved or stitched right into the leather. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I grab my own mitt, I get this rush of nostalgia and it brings me right back to Little League. So let's face it, we all need to carry around our credit cards, cash, IDs, gift cards, whatever. So you might as well carry it around in something that makes you think about the thing we all love, baseball. These babies are hand-stitched, handmade, and made right here in America. Whether you're looking for a unique gift or a way to show off your love of the game, LineDriveOutfitters.com offers a wide variety of products for men and women. That's not all. They will literally make your wallet out of your own mitt. How cool is that? Do me a favor, check out LineDriveOutfitters.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at LineDriveOutfitters. They could be, they might be, they are a home run.
Do we move on to Swing and Mistakes then?
Let's go. Let's do Swing and Mistakes. I'm down.
Swing and miss. Takes. Welcome to Swingin' Mistakes. Each week, the Country Biscuit and I will make three predictions. With each prediction, we'll have to decide together just how risky the prediction actually is. If it's a low risk, it'll be worth a single. If it's a high risk, it'll be worth a home run, and everywhere in between. Each prediction we get right advances the runner. Each prediction we get wrong, the runner stays put, but our pride is put on blast. Each week, we'll resume where we left off until the season ends, in which case we'll declare the ultimate winner. That's where you come in. Help us determine what's at stake. If I win, the Country Biscuit owes me what? Or must do what? If he wins, that won't happen, what do I do? You decide. Send your ideas to weeklystreamerpod@gmail.com. Subject line, swing and miss, and share your best idea. All right, let's get to it. Swing and miss. Takes. Swing and miss. Takes. Play ball.
All right. So let me start by recapping. So, of course, we're going to make some predictions, but coming into the week, I had a 7-5 lead.
I know you did.
To recap, what's that?
I know you did. Hurt my heart.
Oh, I thought you said, no, you didn't. I was like, yeah, I did. All right. So the last show, we both made a season-long prediction. So that really didn't bear fruit because we've got more a year left to go. We also both made a week-long prediction. I predicted that Andrew Vaughn was going to hit a few bombs. He did not do that. I did get one prediction right, though, and that was I predicted that the Mariners were going to acquire a top arm. So thank you, Luis Castillo. You only gave me a single on that, baby, though. Had they acquired a top bat, you would have allowed me to keep the two and have it bump up to a triple. But that didn't happen. So I got a single, which did drive in a runner because I had a guy on third. So I am now up 8-5. Bisky missed on an Acuna bet. But you did land your Juan Soto prediction. You did say he would be traded. You did not get the team right, but I still give you a double on that. So the score is 8-5. You now have a man on second and third, though, so a lot of potential there. So, do you want to go first this week, or should I?
I want you to go first because I feel like we're getting close to the end here, and I'm going to take this big L, and I'm not ready for it.
Okay. So, okay, I'm gonna make a prediction on a player I have not made a prediction on before. I don't even know if I've talked too much about before, but that is Mr. Alek Thomas. The rookie outfielder has quietly put together a nice campaign since getting called up earlier in the year. He's batting .258. He's got 8 home runs, 29 RBIs, 34 runs, 4 stolen bases in about 74-75 games. Not outstanding, but good. He does have a 5-game slate coming up, and I like his matchups. He faces Pittsburgh in Arizona, and then he goes to Colorado against the Rockies. So I'm going to predict that he's going to have at least a home run, at least a stolen base, and 2 or more runs this week.
2 or more runs, what do you mean? Like scores?
He will score 2 or more runs. Sorry, yeah. So 1 home run, 1 stolen base, and he will score 2 or more runs this week.
How many games?
He's got 5 games.
Double.
A double, I'll take it. I didn't think it would be much more than a double, but I figured it might be a double because there's a couple levels to that prediction. So, all right, man, what do you got for your first prediction?
Okay, I'm going to say that we just talked about him. I'm going to say Felix Bautista has two saves this week.
All right.
So he's got...
I don't know how many games they got, but...
One, two, three, four, five. They've got seven games.
Okay.
Eight, if you count tomorrow, if we don't record till... Depending on when we record, if we record Monday or record the weekend, he's got at least seven. He's got seven games. They play every day.
Well, we'll do it till the next time we pod, though. I mean, unless it, for some reason it goes next to the weekend.
So they have seven or eight games.
Okay. I mean, let me think about that. I would say it's at least a double. I don't think it's a home run. I think I'd give you a double. If they had eight, if they had six games, I'd probably give you a triple. But with seven or eight games, that's a lot of opportunities. And he's, unless we're both surprised, he's the man back there now. So
yeah, he is.
I'll give you a double. You good at the double?
Yeah. Well, my thought was that he saved tonight, so he may not be available tomorrow. So. That was my only thought, but okay. I'm going with the double.
Okay. All right, man. My second prediction is all about my boy, Wilson Contreras. I do believe that the writing's on the wall for Contreras. Obviously, I was pretty disappointed that the Cubs were unable to move him. The market was really lukewarm at best for him. And on last show, I predicted he's going to have a massive, massive second half. So I'm going to double down on that by actually putting some statistics to that. He's currently hitting 253 with 14 bombs, 38 RBIs, 51 runs through 87 games. So about a week past the halfway point. I'm going to say he's going to end with 30 or more home runs, 100 or more RBIs, and 100 or more runs. And he's going to position himself for this big offseason payday. If I'm a Contreras owner, I am excited about what's about to happen because this guy's going to go off. I can feel it.
And he's at 14 homers right now.
Yeah, 14 or 15. So you'd have to double his home runs. It's the RBIs that are probably the ones that's the trickiest. He needs 62 RBIs, 49 runs.
I'll give you a home run. Home run.
All right.
I don't think he gets the ribbies and the runs.
It's the ribbies that I'm concerned about because the Cubs are not exactly a powerhouse in terms of scoring. But I think he's going to have more home runs in the rest of the way than he's had up until this point. So hopefully he's just got some guys on base when he does that. All right. Good deal. What do you got?
So I'm going to go of similar ilk here. And because I was thinking of doing the same thing with one of my favorite players in Major League Baseball. And that is our boy, Ty France.
Hmm.
So I'm going to make a season-long prediction. I'm going to make a prediction that Ty France, he was at 13 homers, 54 RBIs, and 39 runs, which seems really small in comparison. I'm going to say he's going to end up with 25 homers, 100 ribbies, and 80 runs in the year.
He's got 54 RBIs? Dang, that's pretty good.
Yes.
All right, say it one more time. He's going to have how many home runs? 30?
25, because that's 12 more homers.
Okay.
100 ribbies, which is 46 more ribbies, and then 80 runs, which is 41 more runs.
Boy, that is real close to what I predicted.
Yep, similar to what you did.
Yeah. I don't know if it's quite as bold as my prediction, because he's more than halfway there on all of it, except for the runs, but he just needs... I'll give you a triple on that. Are you cool with that?
I'm cool with that. You know what's crazy, though, is he's got an 850 OPS, and it wouldn't shock me if he, you know, only hits around 21 homers and have an 870, 860 OPS. That's crazy to me.
That is wild.
The man is such a good hitter.
And he's still pretty young yet, right? 27 or so?
27, yeah. I mean, really, with that lineup improving and where he's hitting, like, if he can just get batters on, I think the other things can really pan out there for him.
Yeah. That's such a good spot for him when they went and got him from San Diego a year or two ago, whenever that was. But all right, I'm going to go with my last prediction here. I'm going to predict that Frankie Montas, who is scheduled to make his first start with the Yankees tomorrow facing the Cardinals Sunday. We're recording Saturday night. I'm going to predict that he's going to give up four or more runs deflating what was supposed to be an exciting start for him. So that's not all. I'm going to predict he has four or more runs. I'm also going to predict that Luis Castillo in his next start is going to have three or less runs. I happen to prefer Castillo over Montes. If I'm being honest, though, I think they're both awesome pitchers, but I put the edge towards Castillo. So again, next start, Montes struggles, four or more runs. Castillo shines, three or less runs.
Who's he pitch against?
For Montes, he's playing the Cardinals. And Castillo, I don't think they've actually lined up, but it'll be next series, which would be likely actually the Yankees. If I had to guess, he will play the Yankees Tuesday or Wednesday.
You know what? I'm going to go because the Cardinals offense hasn't been great lately. I'm going to give you a home run on that.
Dang. Okay.
I think the Montes isn't crazy likely. And I think the Castillo, is it at New York or at home?
It is in St. Louis, actually.
He's playing New York.
Oh, sorry. You're saying the Castillo start?
Yeah, Castillo.
Sorry. Got that confused. That is in Seattle.
Okay, a little better. I'm still going home run. I think it's a lot of layers to that trade. I think yep. One happens. I don't think both happened. I'm going to give you a home run. I think it's pretty bold. Anytime you add layers, I think it adds to the allure.
It really makes it a lot more difficult. That's for sure. All right. You got a final prediction?
I'm going to go, and this is a little crazy. Can I make a deal? Can I make one that's starting Monday? So not counting tomorrow.
You can do whatever you want. Yep.
Okay. So the deal is excluding the Guardians. I think the Astros from Monday to Sunday go undefeated and win every single game that week.
Jesus. All right. Astros go undefeated starting Monday. Who are they playing?
Or I guess they play Tuesday. They have Tuesday and they play the Rangers for I think three games, and then they have the Oakland Athletics for three games.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't even matter who they're playing. I'm giving you a home run on that. To predict a team's not going to lose at all in a week, I don't care who you're playing. Baseball is not a game where you rattle off big long winning streaks like that. And it's each game is so different than the game before, the game after, because pitching matches, what have you. So I'm giving you a home run. I don't know that I see that happening. The Astros are clearly a much better team than the Rangers or the A's, but pretty rare that you have back-to-back sweeps like that. So bold prediction there. I like it.
Yeah, well, if I got two people on, I'm trying to tie this baby up again.
Yeah, that's true. That's one way to do it. Yeah, so to recap, I'm up 8-5. I have a man on first. Biscuit is down, but he's got a man on second and third. So he's knocking on the door. Good stuff there. All right, man. Do we want to end the show with the name that player? Got one queued up?
Yes. Let me pull him up real quick. I had it. Yes, I have one. Now, I will preface again that this person, the team they're on, I will tell you what team by the team they spent the majority of time with. So.
Okay. All right. I think the last time we did this, I somehow, some way managed to pull Deion Sanders. All right. Let me get the timer going. I don't know why, but I'm feeling a little slow right now. I have a feeling this is going to be a struggle, but.
Okay.
I'm ready. You just tell me when.
All right. Let's go.
All right. Three. Two, one. NL or AL?
NL.
Current player?
No.
2010s?
Yes.
Okay. Retired within the last few years? We'll say 3 years?
No, longer than that.
Okay. NL Central?
No.
NL West?
Yes.
Dodgers?
No. No.
Okay, Padres?
No.
Rockies?
No.
Giants?
Yes.
Okay, pitcher?
Yes.
Ooh, Tim Lincecum?
No.
All right, pitcher on the Giants, Madison Bumgarner?
No.
Starting pitcher?
No.
Hmm. Reliever. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Damn, I got 1 second. Oh.
Prominent, Mark Melanson. Prominent reliever. I'll tell you that.
Did you hear my guess that I just had?
What's that?
Okay, well, I guess this is it.
I didn't hear Mark Melanson. I didn't hear. Who was it?
Mark Melanson.
No, you get one more. I'll give you one guess. Final guess.
Reliever, prominent. Oh, man.
One more hint. He was prominent for one thing that he was probably more – it was more important than his pitching. The thing he was known for was not his pitching.
What?
Yes. He had two really good seasons, a handful of really good seasons. But the thing he was most known for was not his pitching.
Okay. I'm thinking it must have been some sort of a scandal, but I can't seem to put my finger on who this would be, and I'm way over time. Okay. So I give up. Who was it?
Brian Wilson.
Oh, Brian Wilson. I would have never pulled that name. I kind of forgot about him.
With the beard. He had that.
The beard. Yeah, that beard was epic.
Yes. So, but yes, he played. He only pitched for a very short time, but he played with the Giants from 06 to 2012, and he had four straight seasons from 08 to 2011 of 36 or more saves.
Dang, I didn't know it was that good.
Yeah.
And that beard was top-notch. You're right about that. Shoot. Okay, that was a good one. I mean, that was a name I clearly would have been familiar with at the time. But once you gave me the hint that he was remembered for something else, I didn't think of facial hair. I was thinking,
I was trying to get you there. I was trying to like it's not like he. But I don't think anybody remembers him for pitching. By the way, Tim Lincecum, I almost went with. I almost did.
Yeah,
it was him or Tim. It was him or Big Time Timmy Jim.
Tim Lincecum, his first couple of years was so electric. I loved watching that guy pitch.
What's so sad is that fans today will never quite realize how good he was. Like, I wish he would make the Hall of Fame just those first couple of years. Like, can we just put like that stretch in the Hall of Fame? Because I'm not sure there's been a better pitcher in the last handful of decades than Tim Lincecum in that 4-year stretch.
Yeah, and he was so young too, wasn't he? Like 20, 21.
Yeah. And then just tore everything. Yeah. I mean, just everything fell apart.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you looked at his career line, you would just think he was an average pitcher, but he was, you're right. I mean, he had like a 3-year stretch where he was one of the very best pitchers in the league, maybe even the best for stretches, but.
No, I would say the best. I mean, just that. And it was the hair. It was the nicknames. Yeah. I mean, he had a 4-year stretch where he had 3 straight years of a below 3 ERA, 1-3, but he had 4 straight 200 inning seasons. He hit 220 strikeouts 4 consecutive seasons. I mean, the guy was just a man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was awesome. So fun to watch. And, it, you know, the rest of his career after that was kind of a train wreck, too. So it's really a shame.
Yep.
He couldn't put a better back half of his career together than he did, but it is what it is, I guess. All right, man. Brian Wilson. Good call. That you got me there. I was not thinking. I wasn't that close on that one, I wouldn't say. I guess I got the team.
I'll be very interested to see if Dodger Dave will listen to this and get it. Because I feel like that's a Dodger Dave stumper.
Well, but it's a pretty familiar team to him. I wouldn't be shocked if he got it right. But maybe you threw him off with the comment about, he's known for something else besides his pitching. So anyway, man, good deal. Thanks for hopping on today. I know, sorry you had some technical difficulties there. You worked through it, though. You're a champ. We're here. We did it.
Pros. We're pros.
Pros. what do you got cooking this week? Anything you're looking forward to with baseball or just in general?
So I will actually be in Iowa this week. I will be leaving Thursday afternoon after work, and we will be driving to Iowa. My little brother is getting married to a lovely wife or future wife, lovely female lady, Miss Krista. So he'll be getting married in Creston, Iowa. So on the way back, because it is what we do, we are going to stop in Davenport and watch the Quad City River Bandits play a little minor league baseball. We're going to get another magnet, put it on the fridge, and knock another minor league stadium off the docket. And if I can talk my wife into it, we may try to take a little longer way home and get another one in.
Hey, Chiefy, could you tell me how far it is to Davenport?
22 miles.
Okay, I can't find it on this map.
Well, get yourself a new meta.
Well, it's got to be on the map. Davenport, I mean, because you say it's 22 miles away. And you're really smart, yet it's not on the map.
I'm picking up your sarcasm.
Well, I should hope so, because I'm laying it on pretty thick.
That's Map Illinois, which we're in, on the border of Iowa, which is where Davenport is, 22 miles away. You're in the wrong state. Get yourself a new map.
Nice. I've been in the Quad Cities once or twice. That's a bustling area. That'll be fun. Any notable players on any of the teams you might be seeing?
So I haven't checked yet. Okay. I've been waiting because I checked a couple weeks ago and there wasn't really anybody there. Which Not sucked it. Was at the time the guy we acquired, CES, was there. Mm. And I think Spencer Steer was there. Now neither one of them are there.
Yeah.
So definitely not my favorite anymore.
So it's a twins.
I don't think there's a ton.
It's a twins system. Who are the? Do you know who the other team they represent?
The Royals, but they're playing the twins system.
Got it. Okay.
So it. I don't know what's all there anymore. The Royals still have some decent stuff there. I'm looking for the Royals now. Yeah. Peyton Wilson was just drafted. He's going to be there. Nice. Not a whole lot from the outfields. He's the really only big prospect of Luca Tresh, who is a high level of catcher. Wander Javier, Aaron Sabato is there, be a good one. And Alaric Solare, and that is about it. So not gonna be the best game for big minor league potential, but some notable names, some guys we might see in the next couple of years. Hopefully I'll get to see some good pitching matchups. That's all I can hope for. But the trade deadline kind of put a little bit of a damper in my step.
Yeah. Took the pep right out.
Yeah, took the bis out of biscuit. Took the yeast right out of me.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be in Chicago this weekend. I thought about going early enough to catch the Cubbies, but they leave town Wednesday. I don't get in until Thursday or Friday. Probably Thursday we're going to go, but not going to be able to catch a Cubs game, which is disappointing. I don't get to Chicago as much as I used to, so I'm bummed out that it didn't quite work.
By the way, I get you're a Cubs fan, and I went to – everybody listen, I went to Chicago three weekends ago.
Yeah.
The most expensive ballpark and all. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's gotten so bad. Like,
do you know – like, I almost thought about pitching you a segment of the things we could buy instead of going to a Cubs game.
It's so bad.
Like – it cost me – so the way Wrigley set up, you've been there. So if you're behind home plate, we bought tickets in that corner left. Right there, those bleachers that are kind of in the left, all the way at the back. Wherever you turn to your left, it's all the ones that are like the Ivy, beyond the Ivy apartments.
Yep.
Where you can sit there and watch. We sat right there for $90. Do you know for $90 I can sit 12 seats up from home plate at Great America?
That doesn't shock me. It was already expensive, but then once they did that development, it got absurd. Which is a shame.
It's a great environment. They've done so much because I went to Wrigley probably 5 years ago, and just what they've done in 5 years to make it look not so dumpy.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Has been amazing, and it's a beautiful area. There's a lot of restaurants, and it's very vibrant and awesome. But man, I'll tell you what, it was one of the more expensive trips I've ever been on. We tried to get an Uber from Wrigley to our Airbnb, and they wanted $145 for a Uber. So, you know, we walked it to the nearest red line.
Yeah.
And just waited in line and made it work. But oh my goodness, one of the more expensive trips I've ever been on. And it wasn't like, at least we got to see Max Scherzer pitch, but like, it's not even a good product at this point.
Yeah. Well,
God bless. Can you imagine when y'all are good?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I know. But people go, right?
Yeah.
They don't need to be good. They just, you know, people go. It's fun. It's the atmosphere. It's the whole thing. My mom used to say that when she was a kid, she would take I can't remember if she took the bus or the train, but she would take the bus or train and be a quarter to get down there. And then she would get into the game for $1. And she used to do that like several times a summer when she was a teenager. Like that's how accessible it was. And those days are long gone, as you can imagine.
Long gone.
Yeah. Anyway, well, good stuff, man. Have fun at the wedding. I'm sure I'll be talking to you sometime soon. That's going to be tricky recording next week, potentially, so we'll have to work out those deets, but we will be back. That is it for this week's episode of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by the Weekly Streamer. He's Hunter the Country Biscuit Rakes, and I'm your host, Ryan Antkowiak. It could be, it might be, it is a home run. We're out.
You are tuned in to... You are tuned in to the Full Count. Let's go!
See ya.
Later.
Adios, amigo.
Sayonara. My guy.
I didn't know Japanese either. I don't know where you're going with the sayonara.
Oh, I didn't either.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.